Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy, theological radio addiction. I'm here with
healthy?
Poppy.
Yeah, are you sure it's healthy?
Sure it is.
Okay.
Teaching God's word is healthy. Watch your doctrine and your life closely, St. Paul says, because you know what I'm talking about. So I'm here with Poppy, with Moline, and Bader, and I'm Coolman. We've been flying by the seat of our pants, but that's the way it goes. That's the way this show rolls. And we've made some observations about what's been happening in the news here with, Gay Pride Month and some Roman Catholic bishops who've been faithful in telling their people that we can't celebrate this and we can't take part of the parades, et cetera, because this is against Scripture. And, of course, they'll add church teaching. As long as the church teaches faithful to Scripture, y'all go along with that. And we made these observations that the old Adamic fascist self, the old Adamic tyrannical self, is baring its teeth here in this country. And, Adam, you made an observation in the break that a lot of the tweets, always bring up a red herring.
So there's been a lot of replies to these bishop and his words. For example, the very first one that underneath the tweet is, "Imagine the hubris it takes to sit in the Pittsburgh diocese where so many Catholics have been harmed by abusive priests and dare to lecture LGBTQ people about their allies about Pride Month. Catholic LGBTQ people know Christ loves us and lives in us. Pray for forgiveness." And I think the idea behind all these tweets, and there's thousands more of them, is that who are you to lecture us if you are committing child sex abuse scandals? And it's kind of ironic in that regard, considering what the nature of the child abuse sex scandals are. And that's the fact that a lot of these sex abuse scandals in the Catholic Church are gay men molesting children.
Yes, and molesting boys.
Molesting boy children.
Yes.
And so what's the real problem in the sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church?
Well, there's no doubt that there is the molestation that's happened and continues to happen, and that happens everywhere in the church, not just in the Roman church.
You're exactly right.
So, to be
honest, almost like church is made up of sinners.
Well, and to be honest, that is what the church need. We need to repent of that, and the ball game here. So, on the one hand, that critique has validity, okay, but on the other hand, it doesn't. And I think this is where this critique of that tweet against the bishop is really, really heading in the wrong direction in two ways. Number one, it was Richard John Newhouse, the former Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, who eventually became a Roman Catholic priest and started the magazine or journal called First Things. He wrote numerous times before his death, and you can look this up, folks. Look it up in First Things. He wrote on this subject many times, and he pointed out what nobody wanted to hear. Nobody wanted to hear it, but he's right. And what was his point? His point was this: is that there's an underground, if you will, society. Those are my words of what goes on among Roman Catholic priests and bishops, and it's a gay culture. That is to say, on the one hand, there is molestation of children by priests and bishops, but on the other hand, there is an ongoing. How shall I say this? I'm at a loss for words here. Not sure.
Well, they're
willingly doing this.
There is a culture that accepts
homosexuality and love between men and boys. So NAMBLA is the North America Man Boy Love Association, and so I bring that up because this is a very powerful organization in the United States that is pushing for men-boy love. And my point is that Newhouse pointed this out as well in First Things, is that there is a culture in the Roman Catholic Church with bishops and priests where men and boys, okay, and it is approved, and et cetera. Now, see, that's what these tweets don't want you to know. And the reason why they don't want you to know that is because then they have no credibility either, right?
And just to back up your point, there's a New York Times opinion article from February 15th, 2019 about this. There's a Guardian article from February 12th, 2019 about this. There's a Telegraph UK article about this from February 20th, 2019. And there's a New York Magazine article from February 22nd.
The list goes on. Explain about
Newhouse. Newhouse's point.
That this culture exists, or that man boy love should be accepted.
That culture exists in the Vatican. Even 4 in 5 Vatican priests are gay, the Guardian says.
There's more to all of this. Just an anecdotal comment about this. I knew a young man from my community where I live, who very very serious Roman Catholic, very serious, and he wanted to be a priest. And he went to seminary. He got out. You know why he got out, don't you? Because of what we're just talking about. He couldn't take it, and he won't talk about it. That's how, what's the right word? Shocked isn't the right word. Hurt isn't the right word.
Appalled?
Yeah. He grew up with a romantic view of the church and priests and bishops and stuff, and he found out what's really going on. Okay? Now, the other point about the tweets that always critique the bishops here who are trying to be faithful, and they'll say, well, Jesus loves us. And you had a woman on The View who said that Jesus would have participated in all this and would have approved of all this stuff, gay pride stuff. Well, does Jesus love them? Yeah, he does. He does, and he died for them. Here's the problem. And this is, I'm going to get to the heart of this. Boy, this is really, if people are, if they're not hacked off now, they're really going to get hacked off about what I'm about ready to say. But it's the truth. The problem with the LGBTQ community, supported by many people in the church, including bishops, district presidents, or whoever, however you call them, they always call themselves the welcoming place. That's usually their moniker, which is code for, you come to our congregation, and it's a judgment-free zone. We will never say that you sin. And the thing about sin is we will never say that you sin sexually. Did you hear what I just said? See, that's the key. When these churches in the ELCA or in the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church USA or a Roman Catholic church in like San Francisco or L.A.
Or St. Louis or Omaha. A church that calls itself Lutheran, whether it's in the Missouri Synod than likely ELCA.
Usually, generally speaking, when they advertise as being the welcoming place, that is code for the LGBTQ community to say, you come here and we will never say that you are a sinner when it comes to your sexuality, gender, whatever. Now, yes, Jesus loves them. That's right. But he loves sinners. But what they've done is they will not confess their sin. So when they will not confess their sexual sin, what they do is they divorce themselves from Jesus, the Savior of sinners, who died for all sin, including sexual sin. Now, when you divorce Jesus from sinners and their sin, here's the rub, and this gets to the heart of it, I think. You are no longer church. Did you hear what I just said? I know this is bold. And again, this is why I'll never be elected to anything in the Missouri Senate, because I say things like this. And I don't want to be. But the point is, I'm going to repeat this. Are you listening, folks? When you divorce Christ from sinners and their sin by saying, we're never going to say that you've sinned sexually, which means, therefore, you don't need Jesus for salvation here, then you are no longer church. Why do I say that? Because Jesus in Matthew 18 talks about how you deal with sinners. And the clincher, of course, is where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them in Matthew 18. And what they've done is they've divorced Jesus from that, you see. Okay?
They have completely redefined the word love.
Love means approval of everything.
Approval, tolerance, acceptance. And by redefining love in a way that Scripture does not define love, they divorce themselves from Christ. They divorce themselves from the cross of Christ. They divorce themselves from the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers over sin. And ultimately, they divorce themselves all the way into hell.
Right.
Yeah.
Love. I love my kids. And so I tell them not to play in the street because they might get hurt there. They might get run over. I love my kids, so I tell them not to touch the stove. Love does set boundaries. Love doesn't just say, whatever you are, goes. Love seeks to protect and care for the other one. And what more important thing is there to protect and guard people from than things that lead them away from the faith? And that's exactly what unrepentant sin does, is it hurts faith.
See, I think we've got to the nub of it. See, they'll say Jesus loves us, which is their code for saying we can do anything we want and Jesus will never judge us, especially with regard to our sin. And that's simply not true. And it is the most loving thing in the world for me to say that. To say, no, you're wrong. You're a sinner, and you just don't sin in one way, but not in another. You also sin sexually, not only by what you think in the heart, but by what you do with your body. You know? We've been so bullied by these folks in the church that no one will speak of this anymore. That's why I said you got these two bishops in the Roman Catholic Church, all the rest of them, it's like hearing crickets talk, you know?
Well, and your comment about the Christians and the church being bullied is spot on. You know, somebody sent me a little meme. Okay. How you say that? But, and it was cute, and it was a picture of a famous actor who's chubby. And it says, I self-identify as thin. Does that make me trans slender? And it was really funny, and I got a chuckle out of it, and I wanted to forward that to several people, but I was afraid to, because that is the unforgivable sin now, is to be politically incorrect, especially with regard to the gay pride stuff, the transgender dyslexia, phobia, all that stuff. You can't even confess. You can't even laugh. You can't even laugh. So, Pastor, we got about a minute left. What are Christians to do? How are we to respond to this massive cultural attack on Orthodox Christianity?
Well, with regard to this specific topic, it is we must speak the truth to power. I'm stealing the 1970s and 60s cliche. We must speak the truth to power, and it's false power, and it's tyrannical fascist power, old Adamic, little divinity, pretend divinity power. So the point is we must love them enough. We must love all people enough to tell them the truth, to tell them, no, you've sinned in this matter. This is not God-pleasing. And now to get them to that particular point so that you can finally say, all right, you realize this is not God-pleasing? Wonderful. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit at work. And now I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your Savior, and he died for you and for your sin. And that's your goal. It's repentance and faith and holy living. It's the answer to every question. It's repentance, it's faith, and it's holy living of God. That's what the church is all about. Luke 24, preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
And that is the only place where true reconciliation can happen, is with that life-changing, life-giving message of the cross.
And that's when the church is the church. When the church won't do that, she's no longer the church. Well, folks, it's been good to be with you. We'll come back next week, and we'll talk again. In the meantime, stay Lutheran, my friends.